I'm now going to go off script a bit and share my heart with you. I was thinking and praying about what to share with you, and I asked the Lord to put the words on my heart. And I believe he did. Even this morning on the drive here, I decided to just do something radically different. Very strange to me and probably to you. I decided to drive the speed limit. And it was scary. Cars whizzing by you all around, people behind you getting mad. But pretty soon I noticed something interesting happen as I drove here. The crowds would go by and I'd be all alone, just driving peacefully down the road, the speed limit. In the scripture, it says it's better to go to a funeral than a feast. Why would that be? At these times, we reflect and we consider not only the ones we love, but we look inwardly and think about what's important in life. What matters in life? Is it the cars? Is it the houses? Is it the worldly possessions? Or is it something much more important than that? I was blown away just this morning when I first read her story. I was blown away at how it touched me because I was there in the incident, the drowning incident in the Rio Grande, where God first started to get a hold of my heart was when I was drowning in the Colorado River, a very similar experience. I was into extreme whitewater rafting and not taking God seriously, not really taking life seriously. I was just walking in darkness, doing my own thing, wondering, what is life all about? And my raft overturned, much like what you heard in the story. And I was held underwater in what they call a hydraulic reversal. It was just holding me under. It wouldn't let me out. My friend washed down the river and he climbed back up. And he said, by the time I got out, walked back up and looked, you were still under the water. That's how long I was under. And I remember thinking, maybe I should make a deal with God. God, if you just let me live, I'll quit being a bad person, right? And then something came on me and said, no, you don't make deals like that with God. You just cry out to him for mercy. Cry out. And finally, I said, Jesus, help me. And the river let me go. Immediately, the river let me go. And that began a long process of reflection for me, saying, I wonder if this God thing is real. I wonder if this Jesus we've heard about from the Bible is true. After all, if he didn't really rise from the dead, we really don't have a hope. We only have memories. But if he did rise from the dead, for those who believe, we have an incredible hope and life has a meaning and we have a future. And that's what I had to struggle with. The meaning, the purpose of life. I had missed it, but it wasn't too late. I was led to read a verse with you about a man who had missed the meaning of life, the purpose of life. We all know that Jesus died on a cross. This is well documented in the Bible, but also in many other historical documentation. It's indisputed that the man Jesus lived and he died. He died on a cross for us. And you heard about the hope that Margarita had in this life because of that. She believed that. She had hope because of that. There was a man, two men that were crucified next to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 23, it tells a very interesting story about these men. They were blasphemers. They cursed at him. They mocked him on the cross. We read about that in Matthew. They reviled him. He said, if you're the Messiah, come down from the cross. Save yourself. But one of them suddenly had a change of mind. One of them had a change of mind. In verse 39, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? They had hours to live. They didn't have long. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. You see what he did there? He said, I'm a sinner who deserves what I'm getting. But he looked at Jesus and he said, there is a righteous man. He hasn't done anything wrong. He doesn't deserve what he's getting. So then you know what he did? He looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He called Jesus Lord. He called Jesus Lord for the first time in his life. He said, Jesus, you are Lord. I'm a sinner. I deserve death, but you are Lord. You have a kingdom that's coming. Remember me when you come into it. Have mercy on me. You know what Jesus said to him? This is amazing. He didn't have time to go get baptized. He didn't have time to try to earn his way to heaven. He didn't have time to go make penance for the things he had done. He just said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that incredible? The grace and mercy of God. That was a hope Margarita had. A friend of mine, who's a nationally renowned speaker and author, he was in an airport once, and a very well-known Catholic priest, well-known to the Vatican, a teacher of ethics in the Catholic Church, was sitting next to him, and he had the opportunity to help somebody who had left their medication in luggage, and they needed it right now. So he ran back, and he was sweating, and he finally got it, and he dug it out for this person, and he ran back, and he got it to them, and the priest was observing this, and the priest said, looked at him, and said, "Wow, you've done your good deed for the day." And he said, tell me, he introduced himself and he figured out who he was. And my friend said, will you tell me how many of those good deeds will I have to do to break even? And then another friend of mine had the same question from the same man. He said, how many of your sins did Jesus die for? Half of them or all of them? He died for all of them. How could he offer mercy to a criminal, a murderer on a cross who was justly condemned? How could the king of the universe who did nothing wrong to this man who was just blaspheming him, calling him names, how could he offer mercy to this man? Because that's who he is. God is love. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He offers a pardon to everyone. We're a little different here at Grace Chapel. You may think, you know, preacher, you're a pastor, you get paid to do this. I'm actually not your typical pastor, and I don't get paid to do this. Okay, I have a job. I work in the legal system. Jason back there, he's not your typical pastor either. He's an engineer. We volunteer our time. And we do this. Let me tell you why we do this, why we do what we do. Because Jesus Christ intervened in our lives and radically changed us. We recognize that this is not religion that we're talking about. This is the reality of and truth. And that the words in this book are true. And when we realized that, it changed us. I work in the legal system. I oversee an office of attorneys and criminal justice things. So I think in terms of legal issues. And I was moved when I saw the testimony of a man by the name of Simon Greenleaf. You may not have heard of him, but he was a principal founder of Harvard Law School. He was a skeptic, an atheist. He didn't believe the things in the Bible or the things were true, but he had students challenge him. They said, why don't you apply the rules of evidence that we use in court? We use the rules still today, Greenleaf's rules of evidence to prove cases in court. Why don't you apply that to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And he said, okay, why not? Thought it was a silly idea. But after months and months of careful study, he concluded by the rules of evidence that would apply in a court of law that Jesus is indeed who he said he was, he indeed did rise from the dead, that he is alive, and that this book is true. And he said, if these things are true, then I have but one choice. I need to follow it. Lee Strobel, an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune, had the same challenge and said, examine the way you do one of your stories, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he did that as an atheist, a devout atheist. He examined the issues for months. He was very upset that his wife had converted to Christianity, and he wanted to disprove it. But in the end, he only proved it. He said, this is true. This is real. And what does this have to do with Margarita? This has everything to do with her. You see, if Jesus did rise from the dead and she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then this is only the beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the scripture says that a believer who died is like a seed that goes into the ground. Have you ever looked at the seed of a rose? I've looked at it real carefully. It's this little black, ugly thing, and it doesn't look beautiful at all, but it's filled with DNA and information of everything that rose is going to become, and it can't become that until it's buried into the ground. And once it's buried into the ground, now it has the opportunity to rise again into something far more beautiful than it ever was before it was buried. That is an example for us of the resurrection of the dead. You see, this is not the end. There is a resurrection coming because Jesus rose from the dead. To anyone who would believe in him, to anyone who would follow him, to give their lives to him, they will be born again into everlasting life. They will rise from the dead. And as the seed of a rose, so our bodies will be. It will be so much better in eternity. This is only the beginning. There is hope for those who believe. And I can assure you from one who came to Christ, Jason, a man of science and engineering, as he came to Christ, my friend who speaks here, Dr. Cornelius Davis, he's a medical doctor. He does surgeries here in El Paso. He got his medical degree from Duke University. He did his PhD work in biomedical engineering at Cornell. He trains doctors all over the country. He had the same experience. When he carefully looked, he stopped. He slowed down in the traffic. He started going the speed limit. He let everyone else pass him by, and he carefully examined the claims of Jesus in the scripture. And he had the same conclusion I did, Jason did, Lee Strobel, Simon Greenleaf, and many others, that these indeed are the words of life and that this is true. And you can count on this. What we're talking about is not just a religious ceremony here to say goodbye to someone. The beauty of a funeral for a Christian is this is only the beginning. We are saying goodbye, and it hurts, and it's hard. And unfortunately, I've had to do too many of these. But it's also a time to remember that this is the beginning. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus. Let me read you a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking of the resurrection of the dead. It says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, like Margarita. There are also celestial bodies in the heavens, terrestrial, but the glory of one celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Different glories, different stars are brighter than others. The sun's brighter than the moon. Some stars are huge, some are smaller. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Why is there death and suffering in the world if there's a good God in heaven? Why is there? We corrupted it. He created it good. We corrupted it. We chose our own way. And so now we've inherited corruption. And we know when we look at ourselves, something's wrong. When we look at the world, something is wrong. This is a broken world. Something is wrong. And our hearts cry out for justice. We want something right. We want God to make it right. We want to believe in something that's true. I don't want to be duped into something that's not true. I don't want to be, Simon Greenleaf didn't want to believe something that wasn't true. But we found this to be complete truth. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. He gives life to those who will believe. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, he went to a funeral. Jesus himself went to a funeral of his friend. He was there. And he knew, I'm about to raise this man from the dead. I'm about to raise him from the dead. But his heart was still broken for the people around him. His heart was broken. And he wept. He cried with them. He related to them. And then you know what he did? He went and raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a very reasonable thing to do. If he did not rise from the dead, we have no hope, but he did rise from the dead. Therefore, we have hope. We have hope in him. I was amazed to read the stories in here about her, and I was amazed to read the story about the healing from cancer. I have a friend, I'll close with this. I won't keep you any longer. I have a friend who had stage 3 prostate cancer. His father had died the day before. This was a few months ago. And he had COVID, all three at the same time. And he was supposed to speak to our church on a Wednesday night. And so he has three real problems in his life. The prostate cancer spread, his dad just died, and he has COVID. And I said, Dan, you don't need to talk. Take some time off. You don't need to come and talk to us. And he said, no, I want to. I really do. I really want to talk to you. So he came and talked to our church. And you know what we saw? We saw a man filled with hope and joy and peace like I've never seen before. Isn't that incredible? That's not of this world. Now, last week, he came and he spoke to us this last Sunday, and his prostate cancer is healed. It's gone. He's going to Mexico. He never got treatment for it. You know, he's going to Mexico, and we are, trust me, I'm all for treatment. We're not one of those kind of churches. We're not that. But he was healed. And he was going to Mexico to share the gospel with other people. Well, on our way home from church, I was giving him a ride with my family. We were at Art Craft and right around Art Craft and Upper Valley Road, if you know where that is. There was a car broken down. And we saw this couple trying to push their car off the road. We stopped and we said, let's go help them. So we ran over and we tried to help them. They didn't speak English. And thankfully, Dan speaks very good Spanish. He said, you know, if you could just give me a jump start, I think that'll work. So we pulled around and we hooked up my vehicle and we tried to jump start him and it wouldn't work. It was not going to start. They had been there for 3 hours and no one had helped them till we got there. And so his wife who was in the car was down and she was pretty upset at this point, concerned about how they needed to get to Las Cruces. So I said, well, we'll go see if we can get something else and we're going to try something else. So we went back and got my truck. Well, Dan spent 20 minutes sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ that I just shared with you. 20 minutes. And she was really listening. He was kind of like, I don't know about this. Maybe this is a crazy guy. He wasn't so sure, but she was listening. And right when he got done, we got back, we said, we can't find what we needed. I don't know what to do. And I said, why don't you try starting that car one more time? And the car started right up immediately for no reason. And Dan said to her, he said, God wasn't going to let you leave here until you hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Why do these things happen? Maybe you've come here Maybe these things have happened so you could hear the good news and believe. If you've never believed, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Do you know God? Do you know him? Have you ever believed in him? Maybe this is God's way of stalling your car in your life, getting you to quiet down, settle down and listen. Listen to the message of life. It's true. It's real. And these words, I can tell you from one who's had a heart changed, the message is true. Jason will tell you the message is true. I'm going to close with that. But I also want to invite you to talk to me, talk to Jason afterwards. We'll hang around for a little while. And if you want to talk to us and ask us questions, maybe you have doubts, maybe you need prayer and you want to pray, we're totally open to it. Please come and talk to us. I'd also want to invite you, if you want to take the step that we did and start a relationship with Jesus Christ, why not start today? Why wait? Today is the day. I would encourage you to do that as Margarita did. You heard her testimony, what hope she had and what hope she still has. This is not the end. This is like a seed being planted in the ground. What a beautiful example. Couple of verses, then we will pray. 1 Corinthians 15. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? What you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body, the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each its own. You see, you can't be sprung up until you're buried in the earth. Jesus wants us to bow our knee to him, to lay our life down and believe like Margarita did. Believe in him and you will not perish. You'll have hope for tomorrow. You'll have hope for a future and hope of everlasting life. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'd encourage you to pray it with me. And to start a relationship with Jesus, I'd also encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, ask us. We'll give you a Bible. You can take one with you. We have them in English and Spanish. And start a relationship with him. God bless you all, and thank you for coming. And may God bring comfort to your hearts. I know this time isn't easy. And I'm very thankful to have got to meet Stephanie and get to know Stephanie and Corrine. What a blessing they are. What a wonderful family you have. And I'm glad that we could share this with you, even though it's a sad time. It's also a time of reflection, and it could be the most wonderful day in your life. Perhaps you're like me and you were drowning and you feel like life is suffocating you. Jesus is there. Call out to him. He will raise you up. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we know that your hand reaches out to everyone with a pardon. With a pardon for their sin, but they must receive the pardon. They must receive it and believe it for it to apply. We know the pardon is written in the blood of your Son, who you sent to take our place on the cross. And Lord, we know that he died the death we deserved. He was righteous and sinless, and we are sinners, deserving of what we get, Lord. But he was your chosen one. He came down from heaven. And he brought life and light to the world. Rejected by his own, he knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to lose family. You know what it's like to lose a son. Lord, we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our suffering. He knows. And I pray that each one here would believe in their heart. If you want to pray with me, please pray this prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I come to you. I don't have anything I can give back. I come to you to receive your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. Help me, Lord, to follow him now for the rest of my life and have this hope within me, that I will see you face to face someday and rejoice that all my sins are washed away by the blood of your Son. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you offer us through Jesus Christ. I commit these people to you now, and thank you for them, Lord, and thank you for this time. We ask you to bless the rest of this time and these services. We thank you for the food that we will share afterwards as well, in your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.